Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the Road Warrior.
Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
So three terrible things that happened on my Judge John Hodgman tour, which was a grand success.
Other than the three terrible things.
Yeah, other than these three terrible things.
Can you say that a tour that involved three terrible things is a success?
They were minor but horrific incidents.
Okay.
I would say. That's how I would characterize.
So were you on...
None of them performance related. All the shows went down like a smooth cough syrup.
Okay, like a delicious Dimetapp before
they went
bed.
Went down nice and smooth and unctuous.
So Jesse, I'm having a hard... Listen, I want to hear about these three terrible things. Was it a road trip? Were you on the road?
We were on the road. I mean, we were flying. All these are airplane-related.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
All these are airplane-related.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be your major incident source.
All right. Shit happens on airplanes.
You want to hear what the three things are?
Yeah, let's hear them.
Okay, number three, getting off the airplane, everybody is stuck in the center aisle.
Right.
This woman is there with her two small children.
Okay.
Most beautiful children you've ever seen in your life, right. These two children. One of the children jumps out of her seat as soon as the seatbelt sign goes off after the plane has landed and desperately tells her mother that she needs to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. She's about 6 years old. Her mom says...
Does she say potty? Does she say tinky?
I believe it was tinky,
tinky,
yes.
Tinky, sure.
She runs...
Just trying to paint it, you know...
Yeah.
Details are important.
Thank you.
Devil's in the details, man.
Specificity is the soul of narrative.
Right,
so her mother says to the flight attendant, is it okay if she goes to the bathroom now?
David
flight
Foster Wallace,
yes.
RIP, would have said tinky.
Yes, that's
why?
True.
It's the little things.
Michael Chabon, on the other hand, would have said dinkle.
That's true. He would have said dinkle.
So
he's one of our best.
He is one
he's
of our best.
He's one of our best.
So she gets permission.
Now. Anyway.
She gets permission to bolt for the front. Right. Front restroom.
For the tinky.
She heads straight for the cockpit. No. This child is very confused about how to get off this
airplane. So far, this is great. Okay.
I know. So far, this
Wind's
is great.
When's the terror? Is she going to stick her head out the airplane window and Hereditary herself?
The man behind
You've seen
me,
Hereditary. You would know what I'm
the,
talking about.
The flight attendants help. They turn her around. They help
and
her.
Ants eat the head.
They send her into the bathroom.
Yeah.
This whole process takes, I'm going to say, 25 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Man behind me goes, don't people know how to get off a fucking airplane anymore?
Okay, so that's a terror?
Terrible thing number one.
That sounds great.
A six-year-old had to go pee.
Yeah,
A six-year-old had to go pee, Jordan.
Okay.
Okay. Thing number two.
I love it. So far, I'm into these terrors.
Okay. Thing number two.
Number two, you got a free popsicle or something? Something else great?
Your friend and mine, best-selling author and television star, John Hodgman, and
yeah.
I
mm-hmm.
are walking through... an airport. I may believe it was the. I believe it was the Atlanta, Georgia airport.
Ah, beautiful airport, one of our best.
We're walking. We're having a chat.
I've never been to the Atlanta airport.
John and I are having a chat. You know why, John? You know why, Jordan?
No,
because we're friends.
Oh, okay.
John and I. Oh, you and I are friends as well. Don't worry.
Sure.
I'm not trying to draw a distinction.
Sure. John and I are friends, unlike you and I, who are enemies.
John and I are having a chat as we're walking down one of those, like a long corridor in the airport between gates or headed for the baggage claim.
Mm-hmm.
Woman turns to us and says, why don't you talk in someone else's ear?
What were you talking about?
Just regular stuff.
Nothing, no swears,
no bad talk. She just turns to us and says, why don't you talk in somebody else's
ear? Were you and John... comparing cock rings.
We were
okay,
in the concourse
all right.
of the Atlanta airport.
So you can see.
Guilty as charged.
You can see.
Guilty
how
as
maybe
charged.
Maybe you gotta keep it. Anyway.
His is impressively hefty while mine is light and flexible.
The rings.
Yes.
Okay.
So the third incident was probably the worst of the incidents.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting at the
I'm
gate.
I'm loving these incidents, by the way. If these happened to me, I'd be on cloud nine.
We're waiting at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
There's two older women
right.
who are watching a film on a telephone.
Right.
The gate is...
You can do that these days.
This is true.
You don't have to go
Look,
to a
Look, I'm not
theater.
Here to deny that there's the technology to watch a film
right.
on a television. That's not my point here.
Yeah, okay.
That's not my thesis.
Oh, you think people shouldn't? Martin Scorsese? I suppose you think Ant-Man and the Wasp wasn't cinema.
Airplane gates are killing cinema, Jordan.
Sure.
They're watching this film. This film is so loud.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching it on full volume, and I think they must have had, I want to say a blunderbuss, but I'm talking about the thing that attaches
to a
Victrola.
To make it louder.
To make it louder.
Yeah.
I know a blunderbuss is a type of gun.
Yeah.
I'm not that foolish, but it was extraordinarily loud. I was probably...
We got to watch a free movie.
Six.
These terrors you're describing.
Louder than the gate announcements.
Right.
And this joint is packed. These women are loving this movie.
Right.
So first of all, our engineer just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and John Hodgman, they both just bail. They're like, I can't sit here.
And listen,
I'm
going to
go
movie.
Stand somewhere else right. because I can't deal with listening to this
sure.
movie.
They're like, I've already seen The Meg.
Yeah.
Or I'm waiting to watch The Meg at home with my family and I don't want any spoilers.
Exactly. They're watching.
There's two Megs.
I would say they're
Jesse,
watching
in a The Meg. There's two Megs.
Some kind
there's
of.
There's a Meg that they fight
don't
for most
dare.
Of the movie.
Don't you dare
and
spoil The Meg.
It's been out.
Don't you dare spoil The Meg.
Two Megs. The second Meg is bigger.
Don't you dare spoil The Meg.
When that fucking second Meg comes out, you're like, God, I'm so glad I'm watching The Meg.
Okay, so what occurred at the gate was
yeah.
I sat down because these dogs were barking, okay?
Yeah, you're pointing
I'd
to your feet.
I've been on my feet a long time.
Are you pointing at your feet or gesturing at your testicles? I can't tell.
Tired tootsies, okay?
Right.
Which is what I call my testicles.
Right, your tootsies.
So
don't neglect the tootsies, you always
I
say.
I sat down at the gate.
Yeah.
And I was there because I needed to sit, but I realized within moments that there was no way that I would be able to tolerate the level of it was louder than the gate announcements.
Right.
So I asked our producer, Hannah, okay, can you keep an eye on my bag? I'm going to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking if I go to the bathroom, go get a snack, come back, this movie's going to be done. Someone will have fixed this situation for me.
Right.
I won't have to confront anyone. I come back. They're still watching it.
Ironically, they're watching Martin Scorsese's The Irishman.
They're
there for 3.5 hours.
Inappropriate in mixed context.
Yeah.
So I say to them,
it's a movie about a life, Jesse.
I say to them,
as
polite and considerate as you please, I say to them, oh, excuse me, guys, do you think you would mind watching that with headphones?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit loud.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no.
Wow. Well,
I was like, no, you don't mind? Or no, you won't? They're like, no, we won't.
They bought the blunderbuss adapter. Yeah.
We can't. Doesn't work.
Mm. Well.
So I'm like, okay. I sat down. I'm like, I shot my shot, and I missed.
Right.
I failed. Hannah didn't hear me go up to them. About 2 or 3 minutes later, she takes her headphones and brings them over to them and says, I don't know if it's a problem with your headphones, but you're welcome to use mine.
Mm.
And they say, no, it doesn't work with headphones. We're watching the movie. Then they said something truly amazing, which was they looked at us, these two older ladies, I'd say mid-60s, looked
That's
at us.
That's a fun age.
And it is. It's fun.
It's a fun age.
Join the Red Hat
it's
Club.
It's a fun age.
It is fun. So they look.
I start talking.
They look and they look at me.
I don't know anything about child development.
They look at me and they look at Hannah, my producer. And again, I can't stress how sweet, quiet, and polite we have been in our request. They look at us and they say, it's not like we've got screaming children or we're yelling, welcome to the world.
Wow. Well, they welcomed you to the world.
Well, good part was, in the
are
end...
Are you telling it to make them seem mean? Because maybe they said, welcome to the world.
In the end, they gifted me with
Jesse.
My new catchphrase, welcome to the world.
If you say it nice, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah. On the plus side, in Portland, Maine, I met a St. Bernard that works for the airport, just going around letting people pet it.
Oh, yeah.
Which was pretty tremendous.
That's good. I like, the airport security animal is is a great trend. Keep it up. Keep it up. That's a bullshit Instagram thing I can get behind.
This animal specifically was there to get petted.
Yeah, that's
this
the thing.
Wasn't a
yeah.
sniffing
San
dog.
San Francisco has a pig
this
now.
Wasn't wait, there's a pig?
Yeah, San Francisco has a pig.
That's why I'm a proud San Franciscan.
Sure,
Jordan.
Yeah, airport pigs.
Okay, let's introduce our guest on the show because this is an exciting guest, Jordan.
An airport security animal in his own right.
This is almost as exciting as a traveling entertainer's complaints about air travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know him as a television and film star. You know him as an international humanitarian. You know him as one of the great heroes of Jordan Jesse Go. Please welcome to the program, and I'm insisting that you do this, Jordan, but also our listeners at home.
Sure.
Please applaud Patrick Warburton.
Hi, Patrick,
welcome what a
to
joy to have
to
you.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. There's no way I can ever live up to that introduction.
Story.
But I love this. I love this story. Next time, just insist on watching Beaches with them. Just yeah. like right there. And
you
go,
think they were?
I wish
and start
they,
crying. Just start
I,
weeping on their shoulders.
I only it? Wish, Patrick, that these older ladies,
yes.
is how I would describe
mm-hmm.
them, were watching Beaches. If they were watching Beaches, they were watching like a made-for-Netflix holiday film.
Oh, sure.
I would say.
Wow.
It was astonishing.
Sure.
They
it
had
is.
Their metaphorical yes. stinky socks.
Here's
on
the world, and here's us. And then this is the world. It's the world that goes around them, right?
Well,
yes, right.
That's it.
Yes.
All right.
It's yeah.
just,
welcome
yeah.
to the world,
yeah.
they said. That's right. That's what their catchphrase is. Welcome to the world. But, Patrick, welcome to Jordan Jesse
welcome
Go.
Welcome to Jordan Jesse Go.
Thank you, Jordan Jesse.
So speaking of holidays, I found myself on the drive over being curious about a Patrick Warburton holiday schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You got yourself into a Warburton reverie?
Yes, exactly. I have yeah. the Warburton Advent calendar.
Right.
And I was wondering, because you have four kids.
Yeah.
So you've done holidays.
Yeah.
Are you a Halloween guy? Are you a Thanksgiving fella? Are you a Christmas boy? What is your which of these do you prefer?
Well, I do love Halloween, but you know, Christmas and that time of year is I still think it's like the most important, really, family time of year, and so I do try sure. to get everybody together, and everybody's out all over the place now. So I have a son; he goes to American University in D.C. He's 21, and he's doing great, but all the other kids are still sort of local.
Yeah.
So I have a son, Talon. He's 27 years old. He's a bodybuilder. He's 6'5".
And his name is Talon?
Talon.
Wait, you have a
yes.
son who's named Talon,
Talon,
who's a bodybuilder?
Well, we were I came up with this name years and years ago. Kathy and I—
When you were getting attacked by a hawk?
When you were trying to will your child into becoming a bodybuilder?
I was in another dimension. And I had done battle with a great warrior.
Sure.
I won. I spared his life. His name is Talon.
Yeah. And he gave
very
his
merciful,
name.
Very merciful of you.
And when I actually, when I was 22 years old, working with Oliver Reed in South Africa, he showed me his tattoo on his penis, which were eagle's talons going over it. Now that was not the impetus. That was not the inspiration for my son's name.
That is an inspired tattoo because it suggests that an eagle so admires your penis that he would like to steal it.
Well, he was a bold, arrogant man. But, my wife and I, this is before we ever got married, we were just camping out one night in Big Bear in the back of a truck under the tree, and we could hear this owl. We couldn't see it, but it was immense. We could tell by the timber of its hooves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about birds of prey. Now, I never liked my name growing up. I never liked Patrick.
Sorry, would you mind giving us an example of such a who?
Ooh.
Yeah, see?
That's that's a big owl.
That's what you can ask Patrick Warburton to do,
big
and you know he can deliver. Okay, please continue.
Well, I've tried to explain to people, you got to be well-versed in all the woodland creatures, not just the squirrels.
Yeah.
I also talk owl. Hoo-hoo-hoo.
I appreciate the Emperor's New Groove reference. Thank you very much.
So we're talking about birds of prey. Now, since I didn't like my name, I always thought our names were always very...
It's a solid name.
Yes, but very ordinary. I always wanted something more interesting, like Han Solo. Something like that. That would be a great name.
Well, all you have to do is be trying to get through a checkpoint without any ID, and the guy will name you.
I am so excited to introduce you to my daughter, Midichlorian.
How unfortunate for her. Talon just stuck. I thought it was a good, unique name for a boy, and nothing too absurd like Dweezil or Moon Unit. Just something, a good, strong
Shots
name.
Shots fired at the Zappas.
Yes. Listen, nothing wrong with that. I go, it's a little crazy. No judging. No judging here. So, but it's funny because my parents are very, very Catholic, very religious. Mm-hmm. My father was in the monastery for 3 months, almost became a monk.
Oh, wow.
Mother went to school with the nuns, and their first concern was that we weren't naming him after a saint. Mm-hmm. I said, well, maybe he'll be the first Talon, so just take a break.
Yeah.
But my dad said, well, that's asinine. Why don't you just call him Claw? And I said, well, why don't we call your best buddy Dick Penis, Dad? How about that? And
yeah.
He said, all right, well, point made.
Okay.
That was as daring as we got with them. So
what are the other three names?
Well, the boys are Talon, Shane, and Gabriel. And
okay. Then,
beautiful names.
And then Alexandra is my daughter, and she goes by Lexi. Mm-hmm. But what I did like about the three boys' names were... But Talon, Shane, and Gabriel, I think, are all very strong names, but I think there's something pretty about them, too.
Yeah.
True.
You know, and true. So those are the boys. Yeah.
So everybody gets together for Christmas, but you said you're a Halloween fan. Are you – and this is what Jordan is really trying to drive mm-hmm. at, and mm-hmm. he's kind of nervous to ask sure. you directly, but I'm going to do
it. Hey, Jordan seems very nervous.
Will you take me trick-or-treating? I want to do a couple's costume. If you want to do Joker and Harley Quinn, I think that could be fun. Anyway.
The thing that Jordan...
Let's do it.
The thing that Jordan really wants to know is, are you a full Halloween dad?
Mm.
Qualities include adult costume...
Haunted house in the garage.
Haunted house in the garage. Excessive candy handing out. Starting Halloween too early.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end of the spectrum, I'm really bad. As much as I enjoy these holidays, I'm really bad at them. I'm really late to the game. It's like, what's today? It's the 30th. Oh, I haven't gotten anything yet. I always go back to, I have my go-to costume, which is an Elvis. It's really easy to throw on the Elvis wig and gloves and everything and walk around and act like Elvis. So I like that.
Yeah.
I think I did something.
What era of Elvis is this?
Vegas.
Yeah.
Because I had a little bit more of a gut. I was looking more like the 42-year-old Elvis, sure. Not the young.
You have a powerful physique. I believe you're some sort of bodybuilder.
Yeah. Your physique is Talon-esque, I would say. I would call it.
I was just thinking, is this Patrick Warburton or Talon Warburton sitting before us?
I did something really stupid because I spent 2 years in Vancouver doing A Series of Unfortunate Events, which is a Netflix series. And I was really enjoying the food up there. And I had brought a very svelte lemony snicket to the game. And then I started putting on the pounds. And Barry Sonnenfeld, our producer and director, was watching me get larger and larger.
Yeah, they
and
talk then, about the Vancouver 15.
Yeah.
That's what everybody gets immediately after
happens
moving
when you
in.
Hit the Coover.
I didn't know that was a thing.
No, I don't think it is a thing.
Oh, jeez. Well, I was a victim. So, I mean.
So what, describe it. I guess I've only spent a couple of days in Vancouver and found it lovely, but I didn't, I didn't find it to have a cuisine that was I couldn't get anywhere else.
You eat really good at that famous aquarium they have.
I fell in love with Vancouver, and it's the only location I've ever worked at in my life that I get homesick for.
Oh, wow.
And I do believe that Vancouver during spring and summer is the most beautiful city in the world. And I just got from Sydney, and I love Sydney, but I was literally there just before I'd gone there. Mm-hmm. In Vancouver... Because it's in spring, I'm talking about late spring, not when it's still raining. But.
Oh, yeah, not that bullshit spring, not that bullshit early
describe
spring.
It's like
Vancouver has what's called a false spring.
Right, yeah.
It's surrounded by these like snow-peaked Sound of Music covered mountains, but it's 70 degrees. So
anywhere you're looking, you can see an island in the distance.
Yeah.
There's always a mysterious island probably has an adventure on it.
I think I'm looking east,
right.
But yeah.
Sure.
It's warm. Everybody's getting high and playing bongos like at Third Beach. All the people are beautiful. Everybody's happy because it's Canada. They have like in
that
little
just get as much medicine as they want.
Yeah, they
for
go
free.
To the doctor
yes.
all the time.
That's right.
Eat handfuls of
right.
pills. The doctor hands to them for no money. I don't even know what they're taking.
Yes, that'll be $10 Canadian.
10 loonies.
Yeah,
but
we're crazy.
I mean, in that tiny little town, I found two Himalayan restaurants. Now, I don't know if there's one in Los Angeles, but there are two Himalayan.
Pasadena has a great Himalayan restaurant. Himalayan Cafe in Pasadena. That's my tip.
Is
anyway.
It? Well, I wasn't crazy about the. I was curious, so right. I went in, but it wasn't my favorite. But there was like an African restaurant I was going to. They had like, you know, Indian fusion restaurants and, you know, all kinds of course, the Indian food there, the curries, everything. Sushi, you go and you get like 10 pieces of Toro for like $8 Canadian. It's, you know.
I ate some great Ethiopian in the last time I was in Vancouver. Ooh, man.
It's an international city.
Jordan, let me tell you this. Don't stand between me and my Tibbs.
I won't.
I love eating Tibbs,
sure,
Jordan.
Like, yeah, Jesse and his Tibbs are like a mama bear and her cub.
Oh, love those Tibbs.
Well, I was getting fat.
Yeah.
I was getting heavy. And Barry, who's really a straight shooter and really, he is not afraid of anybody or anything, and he will let you know what his opinion is. But okay. He had such a difficult time letting me know that I'd put on a few pounds.
You could feel him dancing yes. around it?
Barry, what's going on? Mm. Spit it out. Spit it out. I'm getting heavy, right? He goes, yes. I go, well, all right. He goes, yeah, if you could maybe. I go, no problem there. I'll shed some, you know, but I had a feeling, you know, because I had right. wardrobe coming into the trailer measuring me for new suits. And I looked at them all. I go, it's because I'm getting fat, right? And they're like, no, we just want to put some new suits on you. And I go, pretty much wearing the same suits all the time. Yeah. You just need bigger suits, don't you? So I started going to the gym, you know, back because I'm not one to just like slim down or jog. Lose right. weight, you know. So
you want to grow ever more powerful.
Yeah, so I.
We all. Look, we know Warburton.
Sure.
We know his reputation.
One day you'll have to face your son Talon in battle.
Well, I had.
As the warrior foretold in his prophecy.
I was trying to keep Talon on his toes.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And so I started chasing.
You better watch out, Talon. Here comes daddy.
I started chasing my old benchmarks from in my 20s. Now, I was 52 years old. Now, there is nothing more shallow in this world than the pursuit of a benchmark. Mm. I'm well aware of that.
This is that's a maximum about, bench press.
That's about as shallow as it gets.
I mean, I don't bench, but I was chasing a Betamax for a while. And I thought, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Never going to find slacker on beta.
Sure. What's the aspect ratio? You wouldn't understand anyway.
Well, I ended up getting back up to, at the age of 52, 53. No, actually, no. I was 53 or 54. I just turned 55 2 days ago. And
happy birthday.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. That's what I was.
You're welcome.
I was looking for.
Well, we understand.
We actually have a TGI Fridays wait staff in here to sing you a happy birthday like song.
But so I got back up to 405 pounds on the bench at 54 years old. So I was actually.
I'm going to be frank with you, Patrick. Seems like too many pounds.
It was. So
seems
my shoulders
excessive.
So I was able to come home and go, Talon, I'm still out benching you. And anyways, that's not the case anymore because this last year I literally just quit and just do like lightweights. I just want to play golf. I don't want to avoid surgeries. But I realized that at my age, your joints are not designed to handle that kind of weight. So my shoulders are super chewed up, you know. And
technically, I think, Patrick, no one is designed to bench press 400 pounds.
Well, guys who are, you know, 30 years old and play for the NFL can do it, but not old guys. So.
No, I think those NFL players are also living in defiance of God's will.
I could bang my head over and over again.
Sure.
I'm impervious to the concussion.
This will last forever.
Mm.
But you shed the Vancouver weight.
I shed, yes.
But you still long for its international cuisine.
Yes. Well, just the whole vibe there.
Good vibe. Yeah. It's a very good vibe.
Yeah, I could go to that aquarium any day. What a beautiful aquarium.
I haven't been to the aquarium.
When I was
there,
my
fond memory of being in Vancouver is I rode bikes around the lake with frequent guest Chris Fairbanks.
Oh, that does sound really
And there's
really
a picture
nice.
Of me on the bike, and it's the only good photo of me.
Oh.
It's the lone good photo of me. And it's probably the Vancouver light.
Well,
there's a light that bounces off the Mystery Islands, and it hits me in just the right way, and I've never looked more alive.
Was this Stanley Park that you were riding around?
It might have been, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You go to Stanley Park and you just think to yourself, I remember thinking, well, this must be the most beautiful city park in the world. And then you go online and it shows the 25 most beautiful city parks in the world and number one is Stanley Park.
Yeah, gotta be. Gotta be. And yes, it is full of beautiful bongo playing people who all look like they'd be happy to live there.
Yep.
Except for the winter gets bitterly cold.
Oh, Yes, that I get the snowbird thing. You got to get out.
Yeah.
Unless you're skiing every day at Whistler.
You got to be there in the good spring pocket.
Yeah.
What's the aquarium like? Why is that aquarium so good?
I went there with a friend of...
Because all the octopuses can have as much Adderall as they want to.
I went to...
They're very focused.
I went to that aquarium with a friend of Jordan Jesse Go and Maximum Fun host Dave Shumka of mm-hmm. Stop Podcasting Yourself, Canadian Comedy Award winner mm-hmm. for Best Podcast. And we just had a nice
in
time.
In Canada or overall? The award. Best podcast in Canada or
well,
overall
it's the
best
overall
podcast?
Best podcast in the Canadian Comedy Awards, so I presume overall in the world.
Okay.
Sort of like how the World Series champion is the world champion sure. of baseball. Yeah, and, you know, they got some otters and shit. You
okay.
know, I mean, that's right. at the end yeah. of the day.
No, it sounds great.
At the end of the
you
day.
Really, you really sold it.
Yeah.
You really sold
wow.
it.
Wow, that's their new wow. sign, otters and shit.
What do you got? You got an octopus?
Yep.
Okay, this right. thing can solve.
You know, you could go to Monterey, California, just sit on the beach and see otters.
That's true.
They're all over the place.
I'd love to do it.
In the
it
wild.
It worked for Star mm-hmm. Trek. Why wouldn't it work for me?
Mm-hmm.
See Monterey, California.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful
Star
country.
Trek 4.
God's country.
Mm. Yeah. Save those whales. That's what I say.
So you are of the big end of the year three, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you would say you're more of a Christmas fella than the other two.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
You know, I just I love cooking. I got smokers out in the backyard.
Backyard smokers.
Smokers.
What are
yes.
you smoking?
Meats, pork shoulders. You know, prime ribs, whatever.
You're smoking prime ribs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yes.
Can I come over?
Absolutely.
Is the show? Is the show an Arby's commercial now? Yeah. I feel like
feels like an Arby's night.
To say, yeah, guys, it's feeling a little Arbyzy in here, isn't it?
What kind of smoker?
Smell the
horsey sauce. Do you have the kind of smoker where, because there's a three broad categories, as I understand. Look, I'm not a barbecue. But there's three broad categories.
Nobody's saying
it.
You are.
Nobody's saying you're
Nobody
a barbecue.
I'm so tired.
Stop projecting.
Of Patrick Warburton.
No one.
Star
this is all,
of
all
Rules
your,
of Engagement coming onto my show and
head.
Telling you that I am a barbecue.
You know, this is all in your head. It's a straw man argument.
There's three main types.
What?
Jordan, this is my understanding.
Yes. Yeah, someone
Number
who's
one,
not a barbecue and no one's saying you are.
You got your electric smokers. You put pellets into these.
Mm-hmm.
These would put pellets into an electric smoker.
Got one of those.
Number two, there's the kind they have outside a barbecue restaurant, which is basically just a giant tin can full of wood.
Got that.
And then there's
got it.
And then
That's
there's
two.
the ceramic barbecue smoker that retains the heat
more
in the
of
wall,
a, more of a
as,
grill. You're talking about the
yeah,
green
the,
eggs.
Like the big green
the big
egg.
Green eggs. Yes,
but you can use that to smoke because it will maintain temperature very nicely.
It does. Those get very very hot, so it's they're all different. They all cook in different ways.
You just have a menagerie of meat cookers in your yard. Is that what's going on?
Yes, I find
that's where the sitcom
I find
money
that
goes.
Smoking meats is sort of like male aromatherapy because what you do is you get something in there. If you're slow smoking something, you can sit there and watch golf all day, and you smell it, and it just you. So you feel like you're sitting on your ass, just you know, drinking a beer, watching sports. You're actually accomplishing something. Like, oh, that's getting tender. I'm just sitting here watching, and that's getting really smoky.
And I can't do another task. I'm minding this, so
yeah,
you don't feel pressure to be doing another thing.
Honey, I'm doing something.
I'm minding the meats.
Yes,
Arby's. We bind the meats.
My cousin's husband. In Virginia is one of the most normal men I know, is certainly one of the most normal men in my life. He also has a meat smoking lifestyle. And a key part of his
so I'm normal.
Meat look. Yeah.
I'm normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I won't argue.
You know, you're like an aquarium that's got some otters and
some otters and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
But the part of it, and I will make, look, I'm not averse to this. I make my own bacon. Oh. But the part of it that I can't handle is he will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do this.
Oh, no.
And that is like that and fishing are two activities that involve getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning that I am not in for.
No. And nor am I. There were maybe three times in my life where I was promised there would be grunion at the Grunion Run.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I went there at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Grunion Run scene, And easily the best part of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway. But no Grunion, ever. So yeah. There were three times I went there at the middle of the night, and no Grunion ever showed up. So
I'm
don't believe in
what
Grunion.
Is
so you're
Grunion?
Not doing Grunion is, well, maybe because you were hoping to see it. You can explain it.
There are these tiny little fish, and apparently just jillions of them come up on the shore, and you're supposed to scoop them up, and you can eat them.
And I guess according to the movie Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, this makes...
The dishes are done,
the
man.
The dishes are done, man. But also it makes Christina Applegate like you.
Oh. So, well, that's the dream, isn't
that's
it?
That's the dream.
She's sharp. She's funny.
So after... So you didn't... So the three Grunionless... The three Grunion disappointments.
Yes.
You had them and then
you
were like...
That was a 5K Grun Run?
5K Grun Run. You said you're no more fish activities at all.
Absolutely not.
So no fishing.
Yeah, I'm tired of too many lies and promises.
No,
I'm not waking up at the crack of dawn to go fish.
Fish are nature's liars.
Sure, yes, the liars of the sea.
Yeah.
Not like the fucking otters.
No, otters are stand-up. Otter is an honest creature. It just wants to get a mussel and bang it on a rock.
Yeah, and hold hands with its mate.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Very
like
cute.
Little teddy bears floating on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I have
deadly teddy bears.
Deadly teddy bears.
Not unlike bears.
That's sure.
Yeah.
So, but you mentioned a camping story where you heard the low hooting owl
that
inspired your son's name.
Yeah.
Do you still do outdoor stuff? Are you still outdoorsy?
A little bit. We used to, we have a cabin on the Rogue River up in Oregon. Mm. So that's where we've taken the kids every year for summer. Now we're lucky to get up there maybe 2 weeks a summer. Every other summer. So, but if I talk about selling the cabin, they threaten me with my life. I'm like, well, we have this cabin that's empty on the Rogue River year after year, but it's, you know, it's like family heritage now and they all expect to get it. So,
if there's anybody listening in Oregon who needs a place to squat,
just
thank you.
Head on up to Warburton's cabin and
start
shooting heroin.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk common law.
Squatter's rights.
Yeah. Let's edit this out. Thank you.
That cabin's address again is...
it's a beautiful, it is a beautiful area. One of our neighbors up there is Bobby Doerr from the Boston Red Sox. He's the oldest living member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He lived up to be about 94 years old. But yeah, and Ted Williams used to go up there and fish right off of our property.
Ted Williams is a famous fisherman.
Yeah.
Gave up hitting, took up fishing.
Yeah. And also, the great writer, and I can't remember, Zane Grey. The hotel is called Hotel Riffle right there by our property.
I'm glad that we're really triangulating exactly where people should be squatting.
Yes.
We're really dropping a set of breadcrumbs
but
that
I used
are going
to
lead people straight to the Warburton.
Start cooking that heroin.
We used to go camping when I was a kid. I had three younger sisters. My dad had, we had this little 24-foot sports coach motorhome, and we would take off for 5 weeks, and all six of us would be in this like glorified van.
5 weeks?
5 weeks.
At a clip?
At a clip. And we would have 3 8-track tapes.
Were your parents teachers? How did this...
No, my father was a surgeon and my mother was a stay-at-home mom.
Well, that's good because most of the summer folks don't have any major medical emergencies.
No, but this was good of him because he would block out this time and that's what we were going to do.
What were your three 8-tracks?
Well, we had Helen Reddy, the Carpenters and the Beatles. Thank God for the Beatles.
Carpenters are nice.
Yeah, I like a Carpenter.
The Carpenters were nice. This is where I really lost my my man card was when I was 23 years old. Helen Reddy was playing at the Stagecoach in Orange County.
Oh yeah.
And so we were all like, "Well, let's go see Helen Reddy."
Yeah, Coach House maybe.
Coach House maybe.
Thank
that's
you.
It.
I'm from Orange County, so
okay.
I know,
right off the 55 freeway.
Right off the 55.
That was it.
That's a great place
it
to
is.
See Mike Ness from Social Distortion do a solo set.
Did you?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I saw a lot of stuff at the Coach House growing up.
Well, we
English go- Beat saw at the Coach House.
You know, I love when you can go to these smaller venues and see great, you know, old bands that you used to see in much larger venues. But because there we were, maybe 100 of us in Helen Reddy. So I'm sitting there and everything's cool. And then Helen Reddy starts singing You and Me Against the World. And I started bawling.
Yeah.
I mean, just tears down my face. And I was trying to hide my face. This is not happening. And I had no control over it. But those times were like the best times growing up.
That's really
and
beautiful.
It was, so
was it because of these road trips with your family?
It was a road trip with my family. And it was the best
beautiful.
Time. It was the best time growing up. But I had it just came so far out of left field, and it was like this uncontrollable sobbing at a Helen Reddy show. I can't believe I just disclosed this, but that's what we did growing up. And no, because you know, and then I get home, and it would be like terribly lonely just to be in your room by yourself, because literally six of us would be sleeping in one room for 5 weeks. And we would travel 8,000 miles. But my dad never seemed terribly relaxed, because every day he had to do sewage hookups and electrical and this right. and that. And we had to drive another 5 hours.
There are
hours.
Sewage concerns, aren't there?
When oh,
you're
yes.
doing a trip like that, you have to be worried
you
about
sewage. You
only have
24 feet of yes. sewage space in addition to having 24 feet of living space in a little 24-foot motorhome.
I mean, I'm not a parent.
It was a lot of garbage.
And
to
I don't
deal
pretend
with.
To be, but I mean, from what I understand.
You do occasionally pretend to be.
I do occasionally pretend to be a parent.
Yeah. Well, like on back to school night.
Sure. I just.
But that was
my
idea was, okay, find the ultimate camping spot.
Right.
Because my parents had actually moved up to Gold Beach, Oregon. And I thought, okay, I'm being a good son. I'm bringing the grandkids to mm-hmm. grandma and grandpa. So I find this property. I go, well, I'll build a summer cabin where everybody can do everything and I can just chill and relax.
Right.
I don't have to do anything. And so we have a swimming hole you can go rafting.
Yeah. Not a swimming hole. A swimming hole.
A swimming hole.
Wow.
And a big rock. With a big rock that you can jump off in the water.
Shit, and really?
And all we do is, you know, and
sounds
if
great.
You want, just sit under a little shade and read a book and everybody swims and it's just chill, you know?
That sounds so cool.
But then mom
is there
and dad,
any tubing?
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh man, I'm a big tubing guy. Tubing's kind of my thing. I went once and got lost.
But you got to be in a lazy river.
Yeah, you got to be in a lazy.
The river's got to be.
You got to have some Hams beer, because Hams is river beer.
I've never had a Hams.
Well, it's only Hams is only good
the world over is a river beer.
The first one, ice cold, tastes good, and then after that, mm-mm.
Yeah,
it's their preferred beer of trout.
Yeah, what's a lake beer?
That's an interesting question. Yeah. Would you say a Schlitz is a lake beer?
Maybe a Schlitz.
Schlitz might be a lake beer.
Curse.
I went camping one time as an adult. I've been one time as an adult. My wife and I bought a tent, and we went up to some campground in a state forest not that far from Los Angeles. I put up the tent. I was like ready to give it a good shot camping.
Because Teresa's like outdoorsy, right? Like she likes doing outdoorsy
like
stuff.
Like Teresa and I are from the same part of the world, the San Francisco Bay Area. But she's from Marin County, the mountain biking portion of the San Francisco Bay Area. And I'm from inner city San Francisco, the gunshot avoiding portion of the Bay Area. And so we went and we said, I love my wife and I wanted to do this thing. We had our dog with us. We set up the tent, made a fire. I cooked some food on a cast iron pan on top of the fire, which was great. We went into the tent, engaged in romance, shared our love.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, go. We have to go. We need all of you.
Went to sleep.
So you're covered in cooties?
Oh, went to
you
sleep.
You didn't tell me that.
Went to sleep.
I want a separate booth.
Went to sleep. Woke up the next morning with the morning light.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never felt more
sore,
panicked in my life as when I woke up and realized that I was supposed to fill an entire day with fucking nature shit.
Mm.
I had no plan. I had no ideas.
No slingshots.
I was like,
You didn't bring a slingshot?
Went for a walk for maybe 40 minutes. I believe they call that a hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
40, 50 minutes maybe, you know, 20 minutes.
Is there an incline?
Half an hour out, 20 minutes, half an hour back, something like that. Brought the dog along. Dog was having a nice time. Got back. I made some bacon and eggs in the cast iron skillet. I liked that. And I looked at my watch. Oh, great. It's 8:40 a.m.
Mm.
And I think by 11 a.m., I was packing everything up and back into the car.
That's...
It's like, well, we did it.
Well, I'm guessing, and I may be wrong, but I'm guessing, you know, first time out doing this, you probably did not have, like, an inflatable mattress or something, and then
chafing? You're concerned about chafing and poking?
No. Well, when you lay on the – if you lay
spinal
on
issues.
The ground and you don't have, I don't know, like just something real – like really good, thick
– nice
ground,
cush,
mm-hmm. yes. You're going to be – yeah. You're up
this
every 45 minutes moving around.
This is the bigger problem for me, Patrick.
Yeah.
It's not so much that I was uncomfortable sleeping as I was uncomfortable having to engage with my real self without distraction.
Oh, yeah. I think it was a much deep-seated emotional issue. That's when you take out the phone, you attach the blunderbuss, and you fire up some Netflix Christmas movies.
Should have done
Night Before Christmas, starring Vanessa Hudgens.
I left the goddamn blunderbuss at home. All I had was an elephant gun, starring Vanessa Hudgens. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh man, have we got news for you?
The news is, we're having a baby. I thought you were going to join me.
Oh, sorry. Do you want to do it again?
Sure. The news is we're having a baby. Beluga in the deep blue sea.
We've got two new t-shirts in the Max Fun store. These are two of our best new t-shirts ever.
Oh, these are awesome.
First of all, we've got the Prank Bear t-shirt. Brian has designed this t-shirt. Brian Fernandez, our producer, gifted graphic designer.
It's a passion project for him.
This really is a passion project for him. He essentially produces Jordan Jesse Go. He puts himself through that ringer so that he can create t-shirts for Jordan Jesse Go.
It's really why he's in it. It's why he's in the game. And if you don't go to maxfunstore.com and get one of his new shirts, you're spatting in his face.
Yeah, you've spot in his face.
Don't spot.
Don't spot in Brian's face.
So we have Prank Bear.
The Prank Bear t-shirt.
He's saying, see in the spring, a-holes.
Yeah, it's got asterisks.
It's censored.
It's family friendly.
So you can wear it to school.
Yeah, wear it to your bear gatherings.
Wear it to a bris.
Yeah, the Prank Bear is a bear who pulls a prank on you and then goes and hibernates.
That's true. And he says, see in the spring,
a-holes. See in the spring, a-holes.
So maxfunstore.com. And the other one is based on Jesse's son's misunderstanding of what Bart Simpson is holding.
Yeah. He said not long ago at the dinner table, he said, Dad, Bart Simpson always has table? Which,
of course, he was talking about Bart's iconic green skateboard.
Yeah, which he believed to be a table.
To be a table. But, I mean, it could be used as a table.
As you know, I'm a skateboarding dad. He should have recognized it immediately. I love to cut a rug.
You love to cut, right. Get out there, cut some rugs, do a couple jitterbugs.
Yeah. Pole sitting, I love.
Sure. All the
all the cool
all Gen the X 20s skateboard move, the 1920s
stuff.
Skateboard
It is so
moves.
Cool. Brian made this look like a classic Simpsons t-shirt from the like the first season of the Simpsons t-shirt.
So what we're saying is buy it before they sue us.
Yeah. And it's just a picture of Bart Simpson's skateboard, and where it would say Bart Simpson, underachiever and proud of it, it says table.
Yeah. So Max,
I bought one of these, by the way. I bought one of these with my own money. We don't get these for free.
No, we don't. Yeah, people will say to me periodically when they see one of our new shirts, oh, can you get me a shirt? Can you get me a shirt? I have never touched one of our shirts. They come from a third-party distributor.
I bought one. My wife went on her phone, and she bought herself one, and she bought me one.
That's amazing. You have a family shirt now.
Yeah.
So maxfunstore.com. Get yours if you're looking to do a little holiday gift giving for the Jordan Jesse Go fan in your life, or just someone who likes a t-shirt that's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Maxfunstore.com.
I think I'm going to be honest with you, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you get one of these table t-shirts, first of all, if you get a Prank Bear t-shirt, you can go to any national park and you'll just fit in. You'll just look like another.
Right. Like, here's a bear fan.
Yeah, exactly. But I think if you get one of these table shirts, get yourself over to Fairfax District of Los Angeles. Get yourself to one of these Pharrell stores.
Yeah.
Go. You could, in fact, I think if you get one of these things.
You blend in with the streetwear types.
Yeah, I think if you get one of these things, you're basically automatically an Odd Future.
Right, become the 20th member of Odd Future.
Yeah, you're replacing Domo Genesis.
Yeah.
Sorry, Domo Genesis, you're out.
Jordan Jesse Go listeners are in.
Yeah, they're really great. They're all online at MaxFunStore.com. And there's also a bunch of other cool merchandise for other MaxFun programs that's new for the holiday season. You can find it all at MaxFunStore.com.
Yeah.
And if you're shopping for the holiday season, I would encourage you to check out all the new shit at PutThisOnShop.com, my vintage store. There is all kinds of really cool stuff. I mean, I know what you're thinking, Jordan. Is it just giant oversized playing cards?
Is that all?
No, there's a lot of other
stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah,
it's not just giant oversized playing cards.
Okay, because I already have one.
Okay. Well, you need 52 at least. 54 if you're going to play Joker's Wild.
Sure. Well, I would never do that.
Anyway, PutThisOnShop.com. Almost everything in there, you can use the code TUPPIES to ship it to you for free. Everything except the really giant stuff. Or if you live overseas, some things won't work if you live overseas. But PutThisOnShop.com and get those table shirts just like I did, baby. Go to MaxFunStore.com,
sure.
Baby.
Don't call the listeners baby. I don't think it encourages them to buy more.
Do you
I think it
want,
makes them feel no boy?
Do you
no,
want to
no,
go to MaxFunStore.com
to
get yourself
they,
a little table
if they were thinking
maybe?
About buying the shirt now, they are ooh, ooh, they're ooh. Canceling their orders.
Where daddy go?
This is, nope.
Here
nope,
I am.
Don't do
I'm
this.
Wearing
this is
a
bad.
Table
Brian,
shirt.
Cut all this out.
I'm
this
not wearing hurting. Any pants.
This is hurting the cause. This is hurting. This is bad for business.
Ooh, you're my widow baby.
Yeah, all right. What? Okay. Yep.
MaxFunStore.com.
No, this is so great. I think this is just a fetish for you now. It's not a running joke anymore.
It always was.
No,
no.
Don't.
Every
don't make
time
people.
I've done this
oh,
voice,
no.
It's been sexual.
Oh, boy. We don't need.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second.
We're trying to move shirts here.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Patrick Warburton, better known as Patty Warbucks.
Patty Warbucks, loving it. Patrick Warburton.
That's your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And you were saying to us
the most clever thing I could come up with.
It's great. It's terrific.
That's rock solid. Patty Warbucks is a good piece of business.
But you were saying you were disappointed with your social media following. But before we were on mic, you were maybe feeling self-conscious.
Oh, I'm not disappointed. It's just disappointing is what it is.
I don't think it is. I think it's great.
I think it's pretty good. But I agree. I think News Radio's Johnny Johnson deserves more.
Well,
true.
I guess I need.
And I want more for Kronk.
It's hard for me to get involved in all that, but maybe that's what we're all required to do these days.
I watched an entire film about the Emperor's New Groove while I was on tour. That's a true story.
That is not the Emperor's New Groove?
That is not the Emperor's New Groove.
About the making of?
Well, the singer-songwriter Sting, mm-hmm. known legendary lute player Sting,
Sex Laster.
Yeah. Isn't
that something funny that's just like a joke you can make? Like, the guy from The Police takes a long time to blast. Yeah. And just people know what you're talking about?
It is sort of like, I think we lack mass culture in the United States
right,
these
there's
days.
No
everything
monoculture.
Is so, everything is so atomized.
Yes,
but I think
streaming.
We all know it takes Sting a long time to jizz.
Mm-hmm.
So... Sting was the musician.
It's weird. We know everyone knows that. You
well,
can
he,
just say
he
it.
He made sure we all knew that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can say
know.
That.
Yeah. He kept everybody in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to brag, but 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
Times.
So Sting.
It's me, Sting.
Sting is the was the musician of The Emperor's New Groove, which ended up not being really a musical.
Mm-hmm.
I think he mostly contributed opening and closing songs
sure.
to it. But
some great songs.
He was like one of the first people involved in the film, and his wife is a documentary filmmaker, and they engaged her to be the behind-the-scenes filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie went on this very long path to becoming a Patrick Warburton David Spade comedy. Yeah. And she made a movie about this long path that is like kind of from the perspective of Sting being confused as to why he's asked to write so many fewer songs for the movie.
The Sweatbox. That's what it's called.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really a hoot, but I got to say, not enough Warburton for me.
You could have made more appearances.
Constructive criticism for Sting's wife, who is her own person, whose name I don't recall at the moment.
Well, they were... I think it was frustrating. It was frustrating for Sting because the original incarnation of this film was Kingdom of the Sun, and it was supposed to be like a sort of a grand, more of a dramatic piece, like The Lion King or something.
Yeah.
And it morphed into a comedy, and so then all of a sudden things just started getting sloughed off. You know, all these you know numbers, and it just became, you know, there was that you know, the theme song and something else, like you said, and and then it became more minimized.
They thought it was going to be a more serious thing at the time. They had cast David Spade based on his work doing Pinter on Broadway, and they figured that. Yeah.
But it's so funny because when I first met Sting, I was like, I could almost see it in his eyes. I was like, don't hate me. I didn't have anything. Sorry this film took a twist, but it's not my fault.
That truly is one. That is one of the worst show business horror scenarios I can imagine. Sting disliking you through no fault of your own.
Emperor's New Groove, great. And hey, if you're out there and you're signing up for Disney Plus like I did today.
Yeah.
You can also boot up its sequel, Kronk's New Groove, which is delightful as well.
Very Kronk-centric.
Yeah.
A lot of Kronk in there.
Anyway, I'm like, oh, I'm going to boot up this Disney Plus thing. I'm working for it. I should have this fucking thing. I'm going, you know, what's the first thing I'm going to watch? Got all the Star Wars? No. The 2005 sequel to Emperor's New Groove, Kronk's New Groove.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Listen, all any of us really want is a thumbs up from Poppy.
Yes.
That's all we want.
Are
a
we doing
up
deep?
From Poppy.
Is this some kind of deep Warburton contest we're doing? You've recommended Kronk's New Groove. I'd like to recommend the Warburton's vehicle. The Woman Chaser.
Don't yell at me.
Ooh.
A comic noir, an independent comic noir.
It's like I called you a barbecue or something.
Jesse, from the late 1990s. That is very funny. That Patrick is wonderful in. Patrick, you're a great humanitarian as well as being a great actor. So here's a story. So there's a man named Brian.
Yes.
Not Brian Fernandez, our producer. A different Brian. He's a longtime listener of Jordan Jesse Go, longtime Tuppy. And he knows that both Jordan and I greatly enjoy and admire the great Patrick Warburton, legendary actor and humanitarian.
Sure.
Now, Brian happens to work for an organization called World Vision, which is which does aid work in the developing world, and had worked with Patrick with that organization. And he's like, hey, you know, I happen to be a celebrity ambassador handler or whatever his title is. I don't know if that's his exact title.
Barbecue.
And I know Patrick Warburton. He's a very nice man. I bet he would be willing to come on Jordan Jesse Go. And that is the path that led you here. The path to Jordan Jesse Go always runs through development work in the Sudan.
Willing, thrilled to be here with you guys. And thank you so much. But Mike, you know, this was we met Brian, and he approached us about going, my wife and I. And it was one of the great experiences of our life, though. But we went over to Africa with World Vision. We went to Zambia, I believe. Center Sight Glass. It was a year ago. We were all over. I've been to a few different places in Africa over the years, and these villages that we visited were very special because of just the all the people that we met and the families and the they would all welcome all of us whenever we come into the village. They'd put on these shows and cook food and play music and whatnot, and they love World Vision because World Vision has been delivering them clean water for years and years. They, I guess on average, put in a well a day in Africa, and now they have fresh water there. So the only thing, the primary thing that they need there is clean water. So the girls have to go walk on average 6 kilometers or 3.7 miles with a bucket on their head to some stagnant, brackish water source. They get water that's poison half the time and have to bring it back. They're not going to school. It's dangerous for them out there, and horrible things happen to them. And but that's like the job of the girls and the women. We met a woman there who had been, you know, attacked by wild dogs while she was, you know, getting water. So now they bring
an otter would never do that, by the way.
No,
all right.
But in delivering the clean water, now they're not getting sick as much. They have clean water. They don't have to travel with a bucket on their head for 6 kilometers just to get a bucket of crappy water. So it really is the most important in, thing that they could possibly be doing for the people in Africa. So it's clean water to a new person every 10 seconds.
It's extraordinary. I mean, there are in the developing world, because I used to work in international development myself, and when I worked in Laos, and in Laos, the biggest challenge was, you know, everybody is a subsistence farmer outside of the capital, and the capital is a relatively small city. It's like 500,000 or something like that. But basically, everyone else in the entire country is a subsistence farmer. And the biggest issue that they had was when you're a subsistence farmer, you have a little bit of extra crops. If things go well, you have a little bit of extra crops. You sell those extra crops, and that's how you get the currency that you're using for everything that you're not directly growing on your land. You know, whatever it is, it's you know, everything from like building materials to build your house or whatever things you need that aren't rice, basically. It's mostly rice they're growing. You're getting by selling that little bit of extra that you grow every year. But the biggest issue in Laos, in these villages that we were working in, was they didn't have communications to communicate with the capital. And because they didn't have communications, these guys would ride in on motorcycles, and that was who you sold your crops to, because the roads were very difficult to pass. So only motorcycles could get through. And these guys would load up their motorcycles with rice. They'd buy your rice. And the difference between knowing what the rice cost in the capital, what the market price of the rice was in the capital, and not knowing what the market price of the rice was in the capital, was on average, we did a study, it was like 30 to 40% on what the villagers got paid. So if they knew what it was going to sell for in the capital, they could negotiate against the guy in the motorcycle. If they don't know, they're at the mercy of whatever price that person quotes them, and the money goes to them. And that is like – it is a tiny point of friction, you know, just like being able to access water. I mean, water is obviously just like rice. These are the things you need to live. But like the like little things that we who live in the developed world and have extraordinary privilege are not aware of are the like really essential things that make life dramatically more livable. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, if we support organizations like World Vision and others who are putting in a little bit of help at those inflection points, it can, you know, whatever support we provide can be multiplied many times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, what just a little bit of money from us does, it, you know, for them is so, so vast, you know. That's why World Vision has all kinds of programs. One of them is, you know, where you can buy a family a goat. And I don't know what the goats cost, but they're like $40 or $50, I guess. I don't know.
Great bargain.
And they'll change a goat will help change a family's life.
Brian, can you confirm $40 to $50 for a goat? He says $85 for a goat. I've been paying so much more than that for goats.
Oh, Brian.
Whatever, $85 for a goat. It's okay. So
World Vision Brian, can you get me $85 goats? Because I've been paying upwards of $140 for goats. I would like both milking and barbecue goats. Don't give him a microphone, Brian. He's not talent. Mr. Warburton is talent.
And I'll just take an iced tea, actually. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just here to hang out. Just take an iced tea.
So I'll take one milking and one barbecue goat. You got that, Brian? At $85 apiece. I'm not paying $150 anymore.
But, Brian, if I veer too far left, you got to jump on in there and clear things up.
Yeah.
Once I start wrecking the figures.
Jordan will take an iced tea. Would you like sugar in that?
No, I'm good. A little lemon if you got one.
Yeah. Lemon. Wait, is lime okay if they only have lime?
Sure, yeah. Any citrus is fine. I'm not picky.
Oh, would you prefer green or black tea?
Oh, boy.
Oolong.
Green, yeah, that'd yeah, be, you know, something, something decaf would be great, actually.
How about a jasmine tea?
I can't, you know, you're getting older. I can't have caffeine.
Is it jasmine?
How
about tea sound nice?
Jasmine's
how about a
great.
Tea bag?
Tea bags, yes, a tea bag
would like
be great.
Would you like to just suck on a tea bag?
Hold on. This is about your dogs.
No, a tea bag is a little bag with tea leaves inside.
Okay.
It may keeps them from getting in your tea.
Guys, we talked about serious stuff for 10 minutes.
There we go.
Yes.
Good for us.
We are the champions of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
We are serious about things once in a while. Felt good. It felt good to change the world just now, Patrick.
Yes. Well, well done, Jesse.
Yeah. Patrick Warburton, by the way, wearing a hat of his own golf tournament for charity, which feels braggy to me.
Wait a minute.
Is it?
Feels
turn it around.
Braggy
turn it
to me.
Oh, it is. Sorry.
It says Patrick Warburton Golf Tournament for Cancer Children on it.
Yeah, but I have it on backwards at least, so I'm not like...
Yeah, you know, so that way we know you're a rude camera. Dude with a toot.
That's right. That's all I have in the
okay.
car.
Okay. We have something else.
So coy.
We have something else important to do. So some weeks ago on the program,
yes.
we received in the mail mm-hmm. two very strange shirts with cats on them. These shirts were not like any sort of recognizable shirt that we had mm-hmm. seen heretofore. They could have been designed by Ray Kawakubo, as far as we know. Am I right,
Jordan? No way to tell.
Could
no
be
way
Dries
to tell.
Van Noten.
Who knows?
As far as we know.
Who knows?
These
Your guess is as good as mine.
Strange, half-sleeved, blocky cat shirts.
3XL.
Way to look a gift horse in the mouth.
They were cats. Again, to be clear,
wow.
cats.
3XL.
They were cats.
Jesse, aren't these gifts? Aren't these gifts?
These were beautiful gifts. They were gift cat shirts.
Aren't they beautiful gifts?
Somebody's heart's just been broken, too.
We needed to get these
shirts.
I'm
sure they're sending you gifts.
Right, they're listening weekly.
Yeah. We're very grateful to anyone who sends us anything.
Yeah.
Except for anthrax.
No, no.
Don't send daddy some anthrax.
Cute when you pronounce it like that, though.
Yeah,
it becomes cuter.
Cute. Becomes
you know where they, you know the term don't look at the gift horse in the mouth comes from?
I presume somebody got in trouble looking at the gift horse in the mouth. Maybe it chomped.
Seems like a cowboy thing.
Well, because horses' teeth never stop growing.
Okay.
They keep getting bigger and bigger. So somebody gives you a horse.
Are horses rodents?
No.
They're the rodents of the plains, yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, but see, somebody gives you a horse.
So tell, yeah.
And you're looking in their mouth to see how old they are. That's rude because mm-hmm. they gave you a gift. So you don't do that. That's where the term don't look a gift horse in the
mouth. Well, and Jesse,
learn
don't look a
day.
Gift cat in the shirt.
Okay. There you go.
So.
Sorry. So we got these shirts, and we said these shirts are so beautiful,
mm-hmm.
so wearable.
Very wearable.
So sincere.
That we...
Very Chinese.
Mm-hmm. That we would like to send them to some of our beloved listeners.
Wow.
That's the most
eloquent putting of re-gifting.
Sharing the wealth.
And we decided that we would do so through a contest.
Mm-hmm.
The only fair way to do it, because we know that these people would love it. All of our listeners would love to get these beautiful shirts because the shirts are so beautiful. The cats are so beautiful. The sleeves are half to two-thirds length.
Mm-hmm. I'm sold.
The size is so huge.
Yeah, but also weirdly small in other parts. So we asked our listeners to tweet pictures of their pets promoting Jordan, Jesse, Go! And our guest on that program was the great comedian and writer Eliza Skinner. And Eliza asked specifically that she would like to see flirty pictures.
Right.
She would like the pets to be at least somewhat flirty in their demeanor. She didn't want just flat pets. Brian appears to have printed out a picture of every pet that people sent us. But we're going to go through a few highlights. And ultimately, Patrick, I think it's going to be your choice.
Wow, well.
Can I ask you if you are a pet guy yourself? Do you have them? Are you cat over dog, dog over cat? Are you a ferret man?
We're dog people because we have we've had as many as 5 dogs at a time.
That's a lot of dogs.
Yeah. Wow.
Down to 4 now.
3 barbecues, 5 dogs.
Yeah. I guess we need another barbecue. We need a barbecue per
wow.
1 dog yes. per 1 cue per yeah. dog.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we live out in Ventura County, so everybody's on sort of horse properties. We don't have horses. But if you're on a horse property and you have horses, you got plenty of room for dogs to run around.
Yeah.
So we don't have to walk, if you don't have to walk your dogs.
Plus, you get wholesale goats.
Around. Yes. Yes. We don't overpay for our goats,
no.
Jesse. Sorry. Yeah.
So you're more of a dog person than you are. So you're maybe you would maybe lean toward choosing a dog.
I like cats. We need a good cat. We need a cat because we have a lot of rats out.
Cat will take care of that.
Yes.
You're talking about people who are ratting you out to the police.
Right. You have a lot of undercover snitches. Snitches you're talking about.
Yes.
So yeah, I just wanted to talk about a couple of notable things. So I mean the pets who are flirty, who are not promoting the show.
They're out.
They're great. I liked seeing them.
The whole point is to promote the show. A lot of people just sent us pictures of their pets, which is great.
It's great.
I love seeing pictures of people's pets.
I'm looking. There's an awful lot of them here. Now, Jordan, did you go through these? Have you made a choice?
So I have a couple of things I want to point out.
I'd like to mention that there's a bunny rabbit right here on page one. So thanks to Zero Anaphore for the bunny rabbit. The bunny rabbit is looking at a signed Summer Boys of Summer poster. So the bunny is Zero Anaphora. Definitely came to one of our live shows and got our autograph, which is not nothing.
Yeah.
But I don't see – the bunny is not specifically doing anything to promote
the show.
You
know what I love about rabbits?
What do you love about rabbits?
They're just so interactive.
Yeah. They can read you.
Right. They know what you're feeling
emotionally. And they're definitely not terrified of you.
Everything from trembling to running away full speed.
So I want to shout out Jackson – who gave us our only snake entry, Joaquin the snake, slithering on a hand underneath a sign that says, "Hit the streets." That's one of our slogans. Something Sega Genesis, which is what passes for a joke on this show.
Yeah.
And Prank Bear / Full Chort / whatever. These are all on little signs that the snake is crawling under.
I like Prank Bear / Full Chort / whatever because it really captures even more than something about Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin really captures the half joke spirit of Jordan Jessico. You know, the kind of enthusiastic but one foot in, one foot out spirit of our sense of humor.
Let's see. Of course. So I liked that. So again, I think this is not promoting the show, but I definitely wanted to shout out Chum on Twitter, whose fiance is also his pet dog. His IRL engagement ring is a metal dog collar. He's a flirty JJ Go pet. And this, is, of course, a listener who is engaged to a furry. It's a beautiful wolf outfit. We congratulate them on their engagement. They are disqualified because the dog is not promoting the show.
It seems like
congratulations.
It would be everybody else had to put in the work. Okay, all these other people had to trick a snake into standing next to a sign that says something about Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. By the way, I would have appreciated a specific reference to Flashback or Herzog 2.
Yeah.
But these people...
The guys from Flashback made Shaq food. Did you know that?
No. Is that true?
It is.
Holy shit.
That's why it looks like that.
How come I can't get on Nick Weiger's new show?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I learned that on that show.
Here's my question about Chum from Twitter.
Yeah.
I like everything about this. I like that Chum's fiance is his pet. I like that the engagement ring is a metal dog collar. I like the flirty picture. All they had to do, they're human beings. All they have to do is just do something to promote Jordan Jesse Go, yet they didn't.
Right.
They went through all this effort to get this entire furry costume, to get engaged, to fall in love, all this stuff
they did. I think
they
were doing that normally.
Well, maybe.
Okay, and also I want to shout out Shoshana, who sent over Desperado the Sheep, who has a photoshopped word bubble. Although I don't know, maybe he actually said it. It says "I love JJ Go," so I like that a lot. Some unconventional pets representing in the contest.
I like my first instinct here is I want to celebrate Callie the service dog.
Mm-hmm.
Callie the service dog not only has been to one of our live shows. I don't know how that happened.
Bought a ticket.
I hope Callie didn't try and get in for free.
Yeah.
Try and fucking sneak in the side door or whatever, pull a fire alarm and run in. I hope they didn't second act our shit like a Broadway person.
Yeah.
But I like that Callie is just a beautiful dog who's holding a rope chew toy that Callie's owner, Katie, has tied a Jordan Jesse Go index card to.
It's great. It's a beautiful photo, and it definitely is like it's doing the prompt. You know,
yeah.
She paid attention to the prompt.
Those are some soulful eyes there too.
Very beautiful,
beautiful
eyes.
Beautiful eyes. Like beautiful eyes. And I like that the dog is actively involved. Whereas, for example, there's a dog named Scott that is just wearing a human Jordan Jesse Go t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Scott obviously hates it.
Mm-hmm.
Scott is more unhappy wearing the t-shirt than wearing a taco costume.
Patrick, you ever try and dress up those dogs' ears?
No.
No, good.
I don't
good
have that. You know, I don't have that kind of I need to smoke meats and sit on the couch. That's too much work.
Sure, putting a hat on a dog.
Yeah.
A little raincoat? You know. Ever put a little raincoat on a dog?
Nah.
Well, what about this? You know, you had it out to the lake. You ever put a dog life preserver on a dog?
No. If they can't swim, then they, I guess they're shell.
All
right.
We're one less dog.
Evolution, yes.
This has been discussed in the past on Jordan Jesse Go, Patrick, but I will say the great advantage of the dog life preserver is not so much that it makes the dog float, though it does. It's that it has a handle on the back so you can pick your dog up like a suitcase.
Yeah, but it embarrasses him in front of all his other dog friends.
That's true. Yeah, they make fun of him later.
Your
they
dogs may be more naturally dignified than mine.
No.
I like this like French bulldog or something named Jiminsons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jiminsons is the person who made it. But I like this little Frenchie that they trick to get into
a
Tupperware, and it's a puppy in a tuppy.
That's great. It's a great rhyme. I think we like it. Patrick, of course, for your benefit, our listeners are called Tuppies. It is because of a dumb reason.
Yep.
And that's all you need
to like
know.
Everything else on this show. I like the presence of a three-legged dog, but this dog is not promoting us.
Yeah.
I don't care how many legs. Your dog could have six legs. You could have an eight-legged dog that's half dog, half spider. If they're not promoting it, they're not going to win the contest.
So let's see. We got a couple of torties here. Just like a tortie. Just wanted to point that out. Nice cat.
Nice kind of cat.
But an iguana in a cowboy hat. Which honestly I thought we'd see more of. Knowing our listeners, I thought there'd be more iguanas in hats. But
yeah. I'm surprised we didn't get any boa constrictors.
Let's see. We have a cat in a shirt. We have at Breakfast California, Frank the cat, who also does not want to be in a JJ Go shirt.
I'm gonna be frank with you. A lot of these are bullshit.
Wow. Okay. Coming in hot.
This is a fish with a human face.
This person has five pictures of a cat. Some of them are flirty. Sure, one of them suggests the cat loves to eat pizza, which is fun.
Sounds good.
Where's the
pizza.
Jordan Jesse Go content in this? What are you doing, Robot Derek?
Well, it's cat
Sneaks the cat. You're canceled.
Wow, sorry, Sneaks. We found your old tweets. You're canceled.
You're canceled.
You're not hosting the Oscars. There's a great video of Pancakes the cat sent to us by Front Butt, where he asked Pancakes the cat if he wanted to listen to Jordan Jesse Go, and Pancakes said meow.
Yeah, I did like that one.
It's a good video.
I really like that video.
Let's see. There's a van full of dogs. They don't really have anything to do with the show. I think we've covered all the bases. Oh, there's a cat on a beanbag, and someone has written River Cat on it to make it look like the cat's tubing, which is what I like to do. So.
And it's specifically a pun on the River Rat brand tube that you use to go tubing. That's a River Cat. That one I think is a pretty strong entry.
So, Patrick, we're going to let you pull the trigger on this.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you have any feelings one way or the other?
I'm in love with Callie the service dog.
Callie the service dog is quite a beauty.
I like the Frenchie a little bit.
Nobody's mad.
The Frenchie's not doing anything really to promote the show.
Well, I think
the Frenchie does have that look on her face, kind of like, what kind of breeding did you do?
Why am I a monster?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Why was I created?
Yeah.
I always appreciate. I mean, someone appears to have just sent us a picture of Seaman,
right?
From the video game Seaman on the Dreamcast, and I appreciate that.
Sure.
I love being reminded of that nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, that is a real fish that someone found in a lake somewhere.
Ah,
Seaman!
Holy shit!
It's a news report.
Yeah,
it's just an actual fish that looks like Seaman from the game Seaman.
Yeah. That's real. Well, that's real. That's not.
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, it could be a could
that
be
person
a,
loses
could
the a, contest.
Could be
but
a deep fake.
Is when it, yeah, it's possible.
Could be a seaman deep fake.
You think that's coming out of the deep state?
Could be. I mean, that's where deep fakes come from. From
yeah,
what I understand.
Probably some career diplomat created that.
That's great, man.
Somebody with a long distinguished history of serving their country.
I will say I like Callie the service dog. Mm-hmm. I like River Cat. I like pancakes. I like the snake. That's maybe my – let's see. I think my top three are snake, River Cat, Callie the service dog.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. I loved the video too, but I'm entirely with you. I think the snake has four different slogans, and how do you get a snake to do that?
You just pick it up and put it there.
Callie,
I don't think he wrote him.
Callie the service dog. Don't you contradict me, Patrick Warburton.
I'm sorry.
Don't.
Jesse, we're just.
I get it. You can bench press 400 pounds.
No, not anymore.
I have my own public radio program. Okay. Callie the service dog has the soulful eyes, as Patrick pointed out, and River Cat. While I don't think it would effectively promote the show, technically speaking.
That's true.
It is a good reference to the show.
That's true.
And that tubing adventure that you had where you really learned what it was to be a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got lost on the Kern River. Yeah.
On the Kern River?
Yeah.
That's a rough river, too.
Yeah, it's a rough – I mean, like you said earlier, you got to have a lazy river. I didn't know that. I was a first-time tuber.
You get killed on the Kern, yes.
I almost did, but I survived because of how much I can bench.
There you go. God, I knew that was a mistake bringing that up. I really did.
No, it's
I know it's
a good story.
It's got a powerful
yes, you know, it's intriguing, Patrick. You lift weights. It's great.
Patrick Warburton's yoked. He's a former model.
Yeah. I did used to do a little bit of print work back in the day. Yeah.
So coy.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, this charity golf hat?
This is Johnny Johnson from News Radio we're talking to.
The evil Johnny Johnson.
Are you ready? Do you think you could pull the trigger?
I'm evil Dave.
Do you think you could pull the trigger?
You got to pick two out of these three. The snake, cat,
two,
and the dog.
Oh, two can win because we have two shirts.
We got two shirts.
That's awesome. That makes it easier.
Okay, I'm going with Callie the service dog, and then somebody has to pick somebody else.
We're going with the snake, right?
The snake, yeah. Right, Callie the service dog.
All our thanks to Natasha and the River Cat.
There we go.
Thank you very much to everybody. You can look on the Twitter and Instagram with the hashtag JJGoPet.
Yeah.
And you can see all of those. And we'll take a break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
Stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, mm-hmm. you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday. La, 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 la.
Hey, cool shirt.
Oh, this? Thanks. I got it at MaxFunStore.com.
MaxFunStore.com.
That's strange. I visited MaxFunStore.com.
MaxFunStore.com.
A few weeks ago and didn't see it.
That's because they've just launched a ton of new stuff, right in time for the holidays.
Oh, cool.
There's patches, mugs, totes, stickers, even a onesie.
Nice. Those would make great gifts for everyone I know.
Great, because I already got you something from there.
Thanks. Now, excuse me a moment. I need to look up MaxFunStore.com.
MaxFunStore.com.
On my smartphone. You know, to see what's new.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with anything from MaxFunStore.com.
MaxFunStore.com.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Patty Warbucks over here.
Oh, nice to talk to you, Patty.
In your real voice, finally. Wow.
Finally, we peel back the curtain, and here he is, Patrick Warburton.
That takes a lot out of me.
Just put this on all the time.
Oh, there's, okay. That's the mask. That's the mask. We finally met the man. Patrick, this has been a real thrill. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jordan.
Great. Patrick Warburton's here.
Yeah, we're Jesse and I, in case you couldn't tell, we're both big fans. So having you here feels like I got a thumbs up from Poppy.
You got a thumbs up from Poppy, Jordan. Oh, as did you, Jesse.
Great.
Jordan, you got a thumbs up from Poppy.
That's great. I love having it.
Thumbs up, Poppy.
Thumbs up. Hey,
California.
That's another great Patrick Warburton performance. The line at Southern Storms, Soarin' Over California.
Nice work, pal.
Good job, Jordan.
I love Disney. I'm a huge Disney file, so anytime I ever get a chance to work with Disney, I love it because I grew up, you know, going to the parks and I've had some cool opportunities throughout the years. One time, Roy Disney, and he was 90 something years old at the time. Mm-hmm. His passion was sailing, and he requested that I narrate his sailing movie.
What?
Yes.
Is this available for all to watch?
Yes. And so so it was the most daunting task I've ever had doing voiceover, because when you do cartoons, there's no right or wrong. You're just goofing around. You're having fun. You're experimenting.
Yeah. I was talking with Brian before the show. He mentioned that you're now the voice of World Vision's public service announcements. And I thought, oh, that's great. On the other hand, how do you manage the tone of having Patrick Warburton? Look, you have a sonorous voice, Patrick. There's no doubt about that. It's a more honeyed voice than my own. But I think if you're hearing about
apples and oranges, Jesse,
the effect that a goat or access to clean water could have on a small village in Africa, and the whole time you're thinking, is that? I think that's Patrick Warburton.
Sure, yeah.
Is that Patrick Warburton?
I think
that's Kronk.
That's what they're thinking. I think they're just thinking, hey, I can buy a goat for people and save their lives.
I'm evil, Dave.
But when they asked me to do that, I was very, very honored, because I feel like that World Vision is doing as important work out there as any group in the world right now. And when you go over there and you see firsthand what they do and how it's changing lives of millions of people, you're like, yeah, I want to get involved.
Jordan, Jesse, go listeners can go to worldvision.org.
Worldvision.org.
To learn more if they want to buy somebody a goat. And again, I cannot emphasize this enough, Jordan. Yeah. They're paying wholesale prices for these goats. These are just $85 buys a goat. If you walked right now into Best Buy and you bought even a slightly
used,
somewhat super, and well, they prefer to call them
pre-owned.
You go in and you buy yourself a certified pre-owned goat. You're going to pay $120, $140, $160, and you haven't even seen that. You don't even know if that goat can still chew a can, which is a goat's primary role.
That's the market here, Jesse.
That's the main thing. But the folks at World Vision, they're paying wholesale prices, so your dollar goes further. Mm-hmm. And they're getting premium goats, whether it's a barbecuing goat or a milking goat.
You know, I'll take a piece of pie, too. I'll do the iced tea and a piece of, I don't know, what do you have?
Do you have banana cream, Brian? Yeah. Is it possible to get banana cream?
What are the pies today?
Could I get a goat and a banana cream pie for the good people?
I'll just have a bite of mine. I'm not going to eat the whole thing.
I kind of want my own slice of pie, Jordan.
Okay. I mean,
I'm a grown man. I bench pressed 400. What was your peak
That's
there?
Not you.
405?
405. I got back to 405.
I bench pressed 407 pounds, Jordan.
Okay. We'll get your own pie. We're going to have extra pie at the end.
I need carbohydrates.
It's going to be wasteful.
Pump. I need to pump.
I'm so sorry I ever mentioned that.
I'm a bodybuilder.
Thank you, Patrick, for being here. Worldvision.org. People will go
thank
to
you,
it.
Jesse.
I think that's a thing people can do if they're looking to do a little holiday giving.
And now I can listen to you guys because I just learned from my son how to listen to podcasts literally 4 days ago. He goes,
great.
I go, how do, he's telling
from
me about podcasts. No, my son Shane, who's in D.C., I go, how do you listen to me? He goes, there's an app. Mm-hmm. There's like a podcast app. And he goes, yeah. And then he showed me. He goes,
what's it called? Podcast?
Yes. I go, oh. And then he goes, yeah, and you can just go through here and listen to podcasts.
Well, Shane will be thrilled to learn that you, just having just learned how to listen to podcasts, were on the most popular one.
Now, there you go.
We're the world's number one podcast.
As far as you know, a man who just discovered podcasts.
But it is so ridiculous, the bubble, the cave in which I hide, and I have to have my kids show me how to do everything.
They
just taught me how to program
meats.
A VCR the other day. Go, you don't need this
so you
anymore.
Can tape 60 minutes?
Yes.
Patrick, we're known for two things. Number one, being the world's most popular podcast.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number two, being the podcast where between them, the two hosts can bench press 813 pounds.
Yeah.
407 for me, 406 for Jordan. Mm-hmm.
That is
you're
huge.
At what was that? 405 was your top? You made it to 405, Patrick.
Forget it.
Patrick.
It was a dumb story.
It was a great story. They were all great.
Jordan, before we go, do we all just want to talk like Patrick Warburton for a little bit?
I think you shouldn't talk
you
like
guys
your
do that,
guests.
And I'll
you shouldn't.
I'll talk like Brad Garrett.
Yes!
Hey, Patrick. Hey, Brad Garrett. It's me, Patrick Warburton. We're both deep-voiced men.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse.
Hey,
Mom's
Brad.
Not going to be very happy.
Brad Garrett. Good work on shit. Now I'm half Warburton, half Garrett.
You're Patrick Garburton.
Patrick Warburton, it's a genuine honor to have had you on Jordan Esco.
Really
thank you very,
myself.
Very
thank
much.
You guys.
Thank you.
Our
yeah,
producer is Brian Sonny D. Fernandez. You can find us on the web at MaximumFun.org. You can find us on Twitter at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan _ Morris, at Patty Warbucks, mm-hmm. where we're going to need to give Patrick Warburton the Jordan Jesse Go bump.
Yeah, if you're not already following at Patty Warbucks, get in there, follow, shoot him some pet pics.
Oh, God. He'd love to see. Does your pet have soulful eyes?
Sure.
If yes, send them to at Patty Warbucks on Twitter. If you have any corrections for the show, we take quality seriously. Please do let us know about them. The way to do that is to tweet them at JD Power. At JD Power. That way, JD Power and Associates will know that there's a problem with the program. You can find us on Facebook as well, on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com. We love you all very much. Good night. Goodbye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.